Good morning. Kirby Matoxin, Vice Chair of the LOC, and I'll call the meeting to order. It is 9:07. And present, we have Jenny Webster. Present. Marie Summers.
Here.
Daniel Guzman.
Present.
And myself, Kirby Matoxin, as Chair. First of order is the approval of the agenda.
I'll make a motion to adopt the agenda with one revision. Item 1 under administrative updates should be moved to item 3 under current business.
Second.
There is a motion and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. Next in order is the approval of the minutes of February 17, 2021 of the LOC meeting. Minutes.
Motion to approve the February 17, 2021 LOC meeting minutes, page 2. Thank you.
And that's to forward to the business committee. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next in order is the current business. And the first thing up is the emergency amendment and homeland security law amendments.
This item starts on page 3 of your packet. The LOC pursued emergency amendments to the Emergency Management and Homeland Security Law in March 2020 in response to the COVID-19 pandemic. On March 12, 2020, Chairman Tassie Hill signed a declaration of public health state of emergency in response to the COVID-19 pandemic, which has since been extended until March 13, 2021. The emergency amendments created and delegated authority to a COVID-19 core decision-making team, which allowed the COVID-19 team to make exemptions to any law, policy, rule, regulation, or standard operating procedure of the nation. The Oneida Business Committee adopted the emergency amendments through Resolution BC 31720E. These emergency amendments were set to expire on September 17, 2020. The Oneida Business Committee extended the emergency amendments to the Emergency Management and Homeland Security Law for an additional 6-month period beginning on September 17, 2020 through the adoption of Resolution BC 82620A. The emergency amendments will now expire on March 17, 2021. The LOC is now pursuing the adoption of permanent amendments to the Emergency Management and Homeland Security Law. Since the amendments were formally added to the active files list this term on October 7th, 2020, the LOC has held 4 work meetings, some of which were held in collaboration with representatives from the following areas. So the Business Committee, the Oneida Law Office, Emergency Management Department, Comprehensive Health Division, Risk Management Department, Intergovernmental Affairs, General Manager, and Strategic Planner. So the purpose of the Emergency Management and Homeland Security Law is to provide for the development and execution of plans for the protection of residents, property, and the environment in an emergency or disaster. The proposed amendments to the law will amend the title from Emergency Management and Homeland Security Law to the Emergency Management Law, revise references to Oneida Community Health Services or from Oneida Community Health Services to the Comprehensive Health Division, include a definition for emergency, revise the title of the Emergency Management and Homeland Security Agency to the Emergency Management Department, remove a provision regarding the Public Safety Officers Benefits Program from the law because it is provided for in federal law, clarify that the nation may implement more strict policies or requirements than those issued by the community/public health officer, clarify that it is within the authority of the community/public health officer to issue any mandate, order, and or require restrictions which may limit the spread of any communicable disease to any individual, business, or the general population of the reservation. Remove provisions that required the Oneida Community Health Services to be responsible for certain expenses of an infected individual. Address the authority of the community/public health officer to organize the vaccinations of individuals during the public health emergency. Clarify exemptions to the requirements for vaccines. Extend the time period for a proclamation of an emergency from 30 days to 60 days. clarify that the Conservation Department may contract with an agency to cover their responsibility for the care, disposal, and sheltering of all abandoned domestic animals and livestock during a proclaimed emergency. Delegate authority to the Oneida Business Committee to establish an emergency core decision-making team upon the declaration of an emergency and determine which positions of the nation will compose the emergency core decision-making team. Delegate authority to that team to declare exceptions to any law, policy, procedure, regulation, or standard operating procedure of the nation. Provide how the emergency core decision-making team will make declarations and the duration of authority for those declarations. Require that notification of any declaration be provided to the Oneida Business Committee within 24 hours of a declaration being made. Clarify the authority of the Oneida Business Committee to modify, extend, or repeal any declaration or emergency action taken by the emergency core decision-making team. Provide that citations issued for violations of the law shall be processed in accordance with the procedure contained in the nation's citation law. And provide that the Oneida Business Committee shall adopt through resolution a citation schedule which sets forth specific fine amounts for violations of this law. So on December 16th, 2020, the LOC approved the proposed draft and legislative analysis and forwarded this law to a public comment period to be held open until January 13th, 2021. So because of the COVID-19 pandemic and the nation's public health state of emergency, the nation's COVID-19 core decision-making team made its March 27th, 2020 declaration titled Suspension of Public Meetings under the Legislative Procedures Act. So this declaration suspended the LPA's requirement to hold a public meeting during the public comment period, but still allowed members of the community to participate in the legislative process by submitting written comments, questions, or input on proposed legislation to the LOC via email during the public comment period. So during the public comment period, three submissions of written comments were received. On January 20th, the LOC reviewed and considered the written comments. Then on February 3rd, the LOC directed that the Finance Department provide a fiscal impact statement to the LOC by February 17th. The fiscal impact statement was received on February 12th. So now in our packet, we have the final adoption materials. So as I was working on the development of the adoption materials, I realized that there was one revision that should be made to the proposed draft for the sake of clarification. So on page 5 of your packet, you will see this red line draft to draft one, which contains this last amendment. So in red, a new language is added, in blue, language shows language that has been deleted, and green shows language that has been moved in red line drafts. So on page 11, line 290, you will see that the following statement was added to the law: the trial court shall have jurisdiction over any action brought under this law. This was already inferred by the law, but I wanted to make this amendment just to make sure it was very clear that the trial court would be the branch of the court that has jurisdiction. A definition for a judiciary was also adjusted to reflect the trial court. So this change is incorporated into the adoption packet materials. So now on to the adoption packet. So much of the background information I provided is highlighted in the adoption memo, which is found on page 12 of your packet. So next, I'll walk you through the remaining documents in this adoption packet. So on page 15, you'll see the adopting resolution. The Legislative Procedures Act requires that all legislation of the nation is adopted through a resolution. This resolution summarizes the amendments that are being proposed and highlights that the requirements of the LPA have been met. The resolution provides that the proposed amendments to the law will become effective on March 17th, the day that the emergency amendments to the law will expire. So then on page 18, you'll see the statement of effect. So a statement of effect explains the impacts or conflicts adopting a resolution would have on the nation. So this statement of effect identifies that the adoption of the resolution would not conflict with any of the nation's law. Adoption of this resolution complies with the Legislative Procedures Act as it has been modified by the COVID-19 core decision-making team's suspension of public meetings under the Legislative Procedures Act declaration. So then on page 21, you'll find the legislative analysis. So the legislative analysis is a plain language analysis describing all the important features of the legislation being considered and factual information to enable the LOC to make informed decisions regarding the legislation. Then on page 33 of your packet, you'll find the redlined current draft of the proposed amendments. So the redlined draft is used to demonstrate all of the revisions that have been made to the law from the current version. Then on page 42 of your packet is the clean draft. So the clean draft is what the law would look like if the proposed amendments were adopted as is. Then on page 49, you'll find the fiscal impact statement that was provided by the Finance Department. So a fiscal impact statement means an estimate of the total identifiable fiscal year financial effects associated with the legislation, and that includes startup costs, personnel, office, documentation costs, as well as an estimate of the amount of time necessary for an agency to comply with the law after implementation. So the fiscal impact statement identifies that the proposed amendments to the law have zero fiscal impact. So the proposed amendments to the Emergency Management and Homeland Security Law are now ready to be forwarded to the United Business Committee for consideration of adoption. So we're asking the LOC to consider adopting a motion to approve the Emergency Management and Homeland Security Law Amendments Adoption Packet and forward to the United Business Committee.
Motion by Jenny Webster, second by Marie. To approve the Emergency Management Homeland Security Law Amendment and Adoption Pack and forward to the Business Committee. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
So we do have a second resolution that needs to be forwarded to the Business Committee in conjunction with the adoption materials for the proposed amendments to the Emergency Management and Homeland Security Law. So in your packet on page 52, you'll see the resolution titled Emergency Management Law Citation Schedule. The law provides that it shall be a violation of the law for any person to not comply with or willfully obstruct, hinder, or delay the implementation or enforcement of the provisions of the law or any plan issued thereunder. The law allows an Oneida Police Department officer to issue a citation to any person who violates a provision of the law. Any citation issued for a violation of this law shall be processed in accordance with the procedure contained in the nation's citation law, and the trial court will have jurisdiction over any action brought under this law. The law then delegates authority to the business committee to adopt through resolution a citation schedule which sets forth specific fine amounts for violations of this law. So this resolution sets forth those fine amounts. If adopted by the business committee, then this resolution would become effective on March 17th, 2021. So there is a statement of effect attached on page 54 of your packet, which identifies that the adoption of this resolution would not conflict with any of the nation's laws. So we are asking the LOC to consider a motion to approve the resolution titled Emergency Management Law Citation Schedule and forward to the Oneida Business Committee for consideration.
Motion by Jenny Webster.
Second.
Second by Daniel Guzman to approve the resolution entitled Emergency Management Law Citation Schedule and forward to the Oneida Business Committee for consideration. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next thing, line item is Community Support Fund Law Amendment.
So this item starts on page 55 of your packet. The LOC added the Community Support Fund Law Amendments to its active files list at the beginning of this term in October 2020. So since adding this item to the active files list, the LOC has held 5 work meetings, some of which were held in collaboration with representatives of the Economic Support Services Department. The purpose of the Community Support Fund Law is to assist the greatest number of members of the nation who apply for financial assistance to the fund in times of a catastrophic event, catastrophic illness or injury, or emergency event when no other resources for assistance exist. So the proposed amendments to the law make the following changes. So revise the definition of immediate family to better reflect Oneida families. Include public health emergency as a catastrophic event, catastrophic illness or injury, or emergency event that qualifies an applicant for assistance from the fund. Clarify that the fund may only be used for the waiting period for a Social Security disability determination, rent, and utility assistance up to a maximum of 12 months. Remove the requirement that security deposit assistance only be available to those members of the nation who are Wisconsin residents. Remove the requirement that the amount paid for a security deposit be paid back to the fund before another security deposit is issued in the future. Clarify that an applicant must clarify that he or she applied to his or her local emergency assistance program prior to applying for utility assistance from the fund. Remove the requirement that funeral travel expenses is only provided to arrange or attend a funeral for immediate family members outside the state where the applicant resides. Clarify that lodging assistance due to homelessness or for any other reason not related to a catastrophic event or emergency event, insurance deductibles and home renovations not related to handicap accessibility are not covered by the fund. remove the requirement that an applicant provide all household income the last 30 business days immediately prior to submission of the application. Expand the time period for an applicant to submit an application from 30 days to 45 days and adjust the appeal process to reflect the reorganization of the Governmental Services Division. So on December 2nd, the LOC approved the proposed draft and legislative analysis. On December 16th, the LOC forwarded the Community Support Fund Law Amendments to a public comment period to be held open until January 13th. During the public comment period, one submission of written comments was received. On January 20th, the LOC reviewed and considered the written comments. On February 3rd, the LOC directed the Finance Department to provide a fiscal impact statement to the LOC by February 17th. The fiscal impact statement was received on February 23rd. So now on to the adoption packet. So again, most of the information I just provided is highlighted in the adoption memo, which is found on page 57 of your packet. On page 59, you'll see the adopting resolution, which summarizes the proposed amendments and highlights that the requirements of the LPA have been met. So the adopting resolution provides that the proposed amendments to this law will become effective on March 24th. The adopting resolution also directs that the Economic Support Services Department develop amendments to the Community Support Fund Law Rule Handbook in accordance with the Administrative Rulemaking Law to comply with the amendments to the Community Support Fund Law, and clarifies that the amended Community Support Fund Law supersedes any conflicting language that may be found in the Rule Handbook until such a time as the Rule Handbook is amended. On page 62, you'll see the statement of effect, which provides that adoption of this resolution complies with the Legislative Procedures Act as it's been modified by the suspension of public meetings under the LPA declaration. On page 65, you'll see the legislative analysis. On page 74, you'll find the red line to current draft, which again demonstrates all the revisions that have been made to the law from the current version. On page 81, you'll see the clean draft. Then on page 88, you'll find the fiscal impact statement provided by finance. So the fiscal impact statement identifies that there are no startup, personnel, office, or documentation costs associated with this legislation. The amendments to the law expand upon the services currently provided within the Community Support Fund. So utilizing the midpoint of the range of historical trending data, the estimated annual impact of this law is an amount somewhere between $289,252 and $630,376 per year. So the 10-year impact would be an amount estimated within the range of $200,982,520 and $6,303,760. So the proposed amendments to the Community Support Fund Law are now ready to be forwarded to the Oneida Business Committee for consideration of adoption. So we're asking the LOC to consider adopting a motion to approve the Community Support Fund Law Amendments adoption packet and forward to the Oneida Business Committee for consideration.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jenny Webster, seconded by Daniel Guzman to approve the Community Support Fund Law Amendment adoption packet and forward to the Oneida Business Committee for consideration. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next is the Oneida Trust Enrollment Committee Bylaws Amendment.
This item begins on page 91 of the packet. On September 26, 2018, the BC adopted amendments to the Board's Committees and Commissions Law, which included a requirement that the nation's boards, committees, and commissions update their bylaws to appear in the format and contain the minimal amount of information now required under the law. It further required that the boards, committees, and commissions present their amended bylaws to the BC for adoption within a reasonable amount of time after the law's adoption. Per a directive from the BC through Resolution BC-0926-18C, following the law's adoption, the Legislative Reference Office held two informational meetings to assist the boards, committees, and commissions with updating their bylaws to comply with the newly amended law. The Legislative Reference Office held one meeting on October 17, 2018, and the other on October 24, 2018. Although the United Trust Enrollment Committee participated in both informational meetings and made a good faith effort to amend its bylaws on a timely basis, The item was ultimately deferred and had to be carried over from the previous term to be finalized. It was formally added back onto the active files list on October 7th, 2020, and has been updated to comply with the board's committees and commissions law, as well as the business committee directive regarding certain across-the-board changes it wanted made to all of the board's committees and commissions bylaws, absent an express exception. Before you today for approval is a draft of proposed amendments to the United Trust Enrollment Committee's bylaws. It contains the following across-the-board changes that the business committee directed be added to all bylaws of the board's committees and commissions. One, that recommendations for the termination of a member's appointment or the filing of a petition for his or her removal be decided by a majority vote of the members present at an OTEC meeting of an established quorum. Two, that regardless of the number of trainings, conferences, an OTEC member is required to attend, no member will be eligible to receive stipends for attending more than 5 full days per year of the mandatory trainings or conferences listed with OTEC's bylaws. Three, that the OTEC chair or chair's designee must submit quarterly reports to the business committee, as well as annual and semi-annual reports to the GTC in accordance with the board's committees and commissions law, and that the chair or chair's member designee further attend the BC meeting where OTEC's quarterly report appears on the agenda. Four, that OTEC's secretary may only call or preside over meetings when the chair and vice chair seats become vacant before the end of their terms, and may only call that meeting for purposes of filling the vacancy and presiding over that meeting until those vacancies are filled. Five, that OTEC officers may hold only one officer position per officer term, and that officers may be dismissed from their officer position by majority vote of members present at an OTEC meeting of an established quorum. Six, that OTEC's budgetary sign-off authority corresponds with the authority granted under the nation's purchasing policies and procedures manual. Seven, that OTEC meetings are to be notified to all members in writing, and in the event of an emergency meeting are to be further notified to all members via telephone call. Seven or eight, that unexcused absences are defined as a failure to provide written notice of absence to an OTEC officer at least 30 minutes before the start of the missed meeting. Nine, that when acting on behalf of the OTEC, social media must be used in accordance with the member's oath of office. 10, that specific stipend dollar amounts will not appear in OTEC's bylaws, and 11, that OTEC has to review its bylaws no less than on an annual basis. In addition to the across-the-board changes, changes specific to the OTEC were made to its bylaws, either at the request of the OTEC or to comply with the board's committees and commissions law. The draft bylaws reflecting all changes made to OTEC's current bylaws begin on page 103 of the packet, with the material changes specific to OTEC being as follows. One, that an OBC member is no longer, that the OBC member that is the voting member on OTEC will be the treasurer. That two vacancies in unexpired terms will be filled by appointment of the BC per the process set forth in the board's committees and commissions law. However, the OTEC chair will still be allowed to submit a recommendation for appointment to the business committee so long as decided by a majority vote of the members present at an OTEC meeting of an established quorum. Three, that the BC support office will now have official sign-off authority over OTEC's budgetary purchases, with two OTEC officers being required to sign off on the purchase in advance of submitting to the support office. Four, that OTEC meetings may be attended in person, via telephone, through video conferencing, or other means of telecommunications, so long as attendance is documented in accordance with the board's committees and commissions law. Five, that OTEC will now have flexibility to change the date, time, and location of its meetings, so long as notice is provided in accordance with the open records and open meetings law prior to implementing the new date, time, and/or location. Six, that stipend amounts for attending trainings or conferences will be based on whether attendance was 4 hours or more than 4 hours, and OTEC members will be eligible to receive 24 meeting stipends per fiscal year, as opposed to eligibility being limited to 2 meetings per month. That meeting minutes will have to be submitted to the BC support office within 30 days of approval. There was a section that was added that designates a BC member as a liaison per the board's committees and commissions law, And last, that any further amendments to OTEC's bylaws must conform to the requirements of the board's committees and commissions law, as well as any policy of the nation, and must be approved by the business committee prior to implementation. The across-the-board changes, as well as the material changes, are discussed in more detail within the legislative analysis that starts on page 120 of the packet. As noted in the analysis, these changes comply with the laws of the nation, including the board's committees and commissions law. So as we discussed in our meeting prior to today's LOC meeting, there was a request made after the packet went out by OTEC through their attorney, Carl Altman, that we remove the requirement that a BC member sit on OTEC as a voting member and have that BC member simply be the liaison, but that the BC member liaison will be designated to be the treasurer. So as you recall, I did pass out an alternative option B draft that would incorporate those specific changes. And so that's a decision for the LOC today. What we'll be looking for is for the LOC to make a motion to accept the United Trust Enrollment Committee bylaws amendments and legislative analysis, and to forward it to the Oneida Business Committee for consideration, as well as a decision on whether you want to forward option B or the option that's in the LOC packet.
Motion by Jenny. Is there a second? Second, call for a second on the motion. This is the third call for a second on the motion for option B. And based on no second for option B, the motion fails. Daniel.
Make a motion to accept the Oneida Trust Enrollment Committee bylaws, amendments, and legislative analysis and forward to the Oneida Business Committee for consideration as it is in the packet.
Second.
Motion by Daniel and seconded by Marie Summers to accept the Oneida Trust Enrollment Committee bylaws amendments and legislative analysis and forward to the Oneida Business Committee that is in the packet. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item up is an executive session, asking for a motion to go in executive session at 9:35 a.m.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jenny Webster, seconded by Marie Summers to go in executive at 9:35. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. We are looking for a motion to come out of executive session at 10:29.
So
second.
Motion by Jenny, second by Marie. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
To deny the request for emergency amendments due to the fact that it does not meet the standard for emergency legislation provided by the Legislative Procedures Act, which is it must be necessary for the immediate preservation of the public health safety and general welfare of the reservation population, and move this item from a medium to a high priority with direction that this be worked on as expeditiously as possible.
So moved.
Who made the motion? Jenny Webster. Second by Daniel Guzman. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. I guess that's the conclusion of our meeting. Looking for a motion to adjourn. At 10:31. Motion by Daniel, seconded by Marie. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, abstentions, motion carry. Meeting adjourned at 10:31. Thank you.